12. Genesis chapter 12. I started my Bible through again on May 1st, and when I was reading through Genesis on my first few days, I got to chapter 12 and a very familiar story that just kind of stood out to me. I appreciate things like that when you read something you're familiar with and read many times, but it just kind of stands out for one reason or another, and I thought, this is something I don't remember when I've last preached on it. I'm sure I have in 30 or 40 years of preaching, but I don't remember the last time it was, but it's a very, very important truth. And for those of you that have been saved for a longer time, you've probably heard a message along this line. For those of you that have been saved a shorter time, maybe not. And it's a good timeless message for all of us to consider. It begins in Genesis chapter 12. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1, and we're not going to be going where you think we're going. So we're going to begin with the call of Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees to follow God. But we're going to be looking at something specific when we get to the ending verses of our passage tonight. Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. We're so familiar with those verses and that story. Verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed, going on still, toward the south. We're going to stop our reading right there and let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, now tonight we thank you for your word. We thank you for the evident truths, Lord, as we talked about this morning, the truth of simply believing for salvation. God, we thank you for the stories that we're going to read like the one tonight, that God give us illustrations and pictures, even the Lord. Father, drew from circumstances and things for his parables and different stories that he told. And we're thankful, Father, for the one that's going to be laid out and portrayed before us tonight. And Father, I pray for your help and your assistance, God, that my mind would be clear and focused to be able to present it in such a way that's understandable, comprehensible. Father, a way that can speak to our hearts and challenge us. There's a great truth here in this passage and what we're going to look at. And I pray, Father, you'd help us to see it. And Lord, help us to live it. Bless your word and your teaching tonight. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God called Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldees. He told him to leave his family behind. Now there's much debate over whether he was mistaken in taking Lot, his nephew, with him. And surely Lot caused him a lot of trouble from this point onward. Nonetheless, Abraham left his family. He left the land of Terah, his father, after the death of his father. And he began to journey toward a land which God had promised to give him. As he was on that journey, he came to a place that is mentioned for the first time here in Scripture, a place that is pictured many times, especially in the Old Testament, or significantly in the Old Testament, as a place of communion with God. A place of worship of God. a place of an encounter with God. It's not Abram's first encounter with God. That happened at the end of chapter 11 when God told him to leave his land. It happened again at the beginning of chapter 12 when he told him to get going and get his family and move. So this is not his original encounter with God, but along the way he had a very special encounter, a very monumental encounter, and a very important encounter with God. And it happened in a specific place. Notice it says in verse number 8, that as Abraham is moving from Ur of the Chaldees, crossing into the land we know as Israel, the promised land, and working his way down south to the land of the Canaanites, where they are now in the land, that land that he's going to inherit, he stops in a place, it says in verse 8, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. He has already been at another place. He has already traveled from Ur of the Chaldees. But here in verse number 8, it tells us that he has something special that happens in this place called Bethel. He builded an altar, which he has done before, and the Bible connects that with calling upon the name of the Lord. This place, Bethel, in the Bible, is mentioned 66 times in 12 or 13 books of the Old Testament. It's never mentioned in the New Testament. It is a place in the Old Testament that pictures a place of communion with God, a place of conversation with God, a place of confession to God. May I say that the name Bethel means house of God. And here when Abraham enters it for the first time, it moves upon his heart to build an altar and to call upon the name of the Lord. Keep your place there in Genesis 12 if you wouldn't. Turn over to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. Abraham, as he came into the land or the city of Bethel, which is 12 miles north of Jerusalem, as he was heading south toward the land of Canaan, he stopped in Bethel and there builded an altar and called upon the name of God. In Genesis chapter 28, his grandson, Jacob, comes into the land of Bethel, the city of Bethel, and has an encounter with God. That's not a coincidence. The Bible is trying to teach us something, that Bethel is a place of communion, a place of conversation with God, a place of confession to God. Notice in Genesis chapter 28, we'll skip down to verse number 10 as we begin. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Verse 11. And he lighted upon a certain place. Now, I don't want to spoil the story for you here, but let me just inform you that by the time we get to the end of this passage, we're going to know that certain place has a name. It's called Bethel. And so reading into the story, we know here that Jacob has come to a place. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. I've had some pillows sometimes. It felt like a stone. You wake up the next morning and your neck is stiff and your shoulders are stiff. That's what he did. He took a pillow and set it up, or took a stone and set it up in his pillow, it says, and lay down in that place to sleep, verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac, the land whereinto thou liest. To thee will I give it and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. What a great event took place in this certain place, where heaven was opened, and Jacob saw this ladder, and the angels going up and down, and God reminding Jacob of the promise given to his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac, now given to Jacob, I'm going to be with you, I'm going to bless you. Look in every direction, he told Abraham, north, south, east, and west, all this land will be given to thee. Jacob gets that promise. And after having met with God that night in this place, in verse 16, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. Now, isn't the Lord everywhere? Is he in a certain place? No. But Jacob had an experience in that place. And it meant something to him. It was a place he would never forget. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and he set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, we'll talk more about the vow in just a moment, but I want you to notice, Jacob has an experience at a place called Bethel. The same place that his grandfather had an experience. There are places in our life when we look back over our Christian life where God has met with us. Where God did something special. Not just salvation. Again, this is not their call. This is not their first encounter with God. But secondary encounters with God. If the only time that the Lord's ever been very close to you was the day you got saved, there's something wrong with your Christianity. Our fellowship with God ought to be a daily growing relationship with Him. And we never know when those certain moments are going to come, but we know they're going to come. And they come, the Bible tells us, at Bethel. Bethel is the house of God. At Bethel, they made an altar. Now this is Old Testament teaching. And we can't be very precise and specific when it doesn't translate to New Testament. And yet at the same time, Bethel never appears in Matthew through Revelation. But it's a place where Abraham and Jacob met with God and constructed an altar and made some vows and made some promises and had communion with God and confession to God and a relationship with God and an encounter with God. You know where that happens? It happens in the house of God. It happens in church. It happens many times at an altar. And every time these men were at Bethel, you know what they did? They built an altar, and they worshiped God. God does His work through Bethel. Why do we come to church on a Sunday night? Many times it's routine. It's what we do, and thank God for that. Thank God for having a routine that is based and surrounded around the Word of God and around the Lord Jesus Christ. Many have routines that are geared around all kinds of other things. So thankfully we have one that's geared around the church and geared around fellowship and geared around the Bible and preaching and all that. And we never know, but when we come to a service, it's going to be a Bethel moment. That something's going to happen in that service that God is just going to be so real to us as an individual. Speak so specifically to us individually that we're going to have a Bethel moment. Now that's not a biblical phrase, and I'm not putting a lot into that, but I simply know by experience that there have been times in my Christian life, there are times where I come to church most of the time, where I come to church and I fellowship and I sing and I give and I pray and I preach or listen to preaching and everything's good and everything's wonderful and you walk out the door and it's kind of just another service, we don't say another box to check off, but it's just something that we do. But every once in a while, it's a Bethel moment. Every once in a while, the Holy Spirit of God takes something that's said, something that's done, brings something to our remembrance, speaks somehow to our heart, and He brings us to a place that we treasure and we value. A place where we make a commitment to God. A place where we have confession to God. A place where we have a conversation with God. Have you been to Bethel? Have you been often to Bethel? Do you pray that God would bring you to Bethel? That place of communion, that place of fellowship with God. Abraham had it at Bethel. Jacob had it at Bethel. They had that encounter with God. Now, it's wonderful to have that encounter with God. But that encounter is temporary, isn't it? The day you got saved, you testify, you remember it, you glorify God for it, but that's a day that was in the past. A day that's not going to be relived. You're saved, you're sealed by the Spirit of God, sealed to the day of redemption, that thing's over and done. But along the line, God has spoken to your heart, challenged your heart, convicted your heart, and you made some decisions for God. You called upon the name of the Lord. That's what it said Abraham did there at Bethel. You came to an altar and made a confession of some kind of sin that maybe now you struggle with, that you still haven't completely gotten victory over. You need to get back to Bethel. Here's what I mean by that. We just read Genesis 12. Go back there to Genesis 12. We'll get back to Jacob's story in just a moment. But go back to Genesis chapter 12. Abraham came to Bethel. He built an altar. He called upon the name of the Lord. What a wonderful moment. What a wonderful day. But you know what happened? The sun set that night, and the next day was another day. There are those spiritual moments of revival where God seems so real, we just wish the clock would stop and we could stay right there. But reality is, time goes on. Abraham's life went on. And something happened in Abraham's life that Bethel became a memory and not a present possession. Right after Abraham's meeting with God in Bethel, it says in chapter 12 and verse 10, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." Now, we could take time to have a Bible study and see whether Abraham's decision was right or wrong to go down to Egypt. I would simply say that there's no direct command by God. God has been leading him up until this point and guiding his steps. God doesn't seem to lead him down to Egypt. But Abraham, because of the famine, because of circumstances, decides to go down to Egypt. And in Egypt, he makes a mess of things. He makes some bad decisions. He lies. He gets out of fellowship with God. Bethel doesn't last forever. Bethel are wonderful moments of communion with God and fellowship with God. But life goes on. And we live the next day and the next day. And we're not always as close to God as we are that moment at Bethel. Abraham left Bethel. He went on down toward the south. He went into Egypt. He escaped by, we might say, the skin of his teeth, almost risking his life there and making up that lie that we all know about. And he came back out of Egypt. He survived it. And notice chapter 13. Notice what happens when he comes up out of Egypt. "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold." Abram's time in Egypt made him wealthy. Abram's time in Egypt made him prosperous. But he was not close to God. Verse 3, "And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, under the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord." I wish you would. I've done it in my Bible. The end of verse 4, Abram called on the name of the Lord. You know what that matches? It matches the end of chapter 12 and verse number 8, where he called upon the name of the Lord. Both of these things happened at Bethel. On his way down before he went out down to Egypt, on his way back when he came out of Egypt, he stopped at Bethel, at the place he'd been before, and he got things straightened out. And he got his relationship with God right. And he got his sins confessed, as it were. His restoration of fellowship with God. Because he'd made a mess of things down in Egypt. Now he comes back to Bethel and he calls on the name of the Lord. Now I don't want to read too much into this, but I simply point out that from chapter 12 and verse 10, when he went down to Egypt, to chapter 13 and verse 4, when he comes back to Bethel, there's nothing there that ever says that he called upon the name of the Lord. Abram was going in his own strength, in his own reasoning, in his own wisdom, fearing that he would be killed for his wife's sake. It's all human understanding. God has kind of been left out of the scenario, left out of the possibilities, until he comes back to Bethel and makes an altar at that place where he had made it before and calls upon the name of the Lord. See, Bethel are points and times in our life where we're very close to God. But between our Bethel moments, there's reality. There's life. There's struggle. There's challenges. And we live from one to the next. And our heart's desire and our cry to God is to get back to Bethel. When we find ourselves away from the house of God, not necessarily out of church, but many times that happens with folks that get away from Bethel. When we find ourselves away from the fellowship of God, away from the altar, away from the decisions we once made, we go on our own human instinct and human reasoning, and we make bad and faulty decisions. We need to get back to Bethel. We need to get back to the altar. We need to get back in relationship with God. We call that backsliding. And not all of our between Bethel moments is necessarily backsliding. It's just not being in direct fellowship with God. And really, that's kind of a normal part of our life. We get up in the morning, we make our plans, we know what we're going to do throughout the day, and we ask God, as we said Wednesday night, we ask God to follow us in the plans that we've already made. Instead of going before Him and saying, Lord, what would You have me to do today? You say, that's not very practical, that's not very real, I have things I have to do. Well, those things you have to do are one thing. But we need God's presence and blessing in it, and we get in the habit of going through our routine day after day after day without needing and depending on the presence of God. Bethel brings us back to the memory of needing that constant fellowship with God. Getting back to Bethel. Go back over to Genesis 28. Genesis chapter 28. We look here where Jacob met with God in a place that was called Bethel. He called it Bethel. It was the house of God, the gate of heaven. It was a place to Jacob where he had an encounter with the Lord. And while when he had that moment, it says in verse number 20, and I didn't read down all the way here, Genesis 28 and verse 20, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. See what Jacob did at Bethel? He made some commitments to God. He made some vows to the Lord. He had a conversation with Him. He spoke to God, and God spoke to him. All of this happened at Bethel. But just like his grandfather Abraham, the sun set that night in Bethel. And the next day, Jacob moved on. You talk about moving on. Abraham's story between Bethel and going back to Bethel in Genesis 13 was a brief little excursion down into Egypt, which didn't happen in just a day or 2 days or a week's time. It was a lengthy time, but the description of it's pretty short in our Bible. But Jacob's excursion away from Bethel before he comes back to it cost him dearly. He made a lot of mistakes. He lived in the flesh. We don't have time to go through it, but when you start to Genesis chapter 29, he leaves Bethel and he heads to the east, to the land of Laban, who's called the Syrian, a relative of his, no doubt, but into the land of Syria he goes, away from Bethel, away from the house of God, away from that place of communion and fellowship with God, and he heads into strange country. And there he ends up at the house of Laban for at least the next 14 years. And while there, he marries Leah. Then he marries Rachel. Then he marries some of each of their concubines. Can I just say, without going into any great detail, he made a lot of mistakes. He went by flesh and not by sight. And he did some things that cost him, and God used it. God blessed it. He got the 12 tribes of Israel out of those kids that he had from those concubines. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. But Jacob made a lot of mistakes when he left Bethel. Those mistakes affected his family, affected his offspring, affected his children, his grandchildren. After that, he runs into his brother Esau. Remember him? The one he defrauded on two different occasions. He runs into Esau and he's scared to death because he knows Esau had once, at one time, vowed to kill him. And so now he takes matters in his own hand and begins to plan out how he'll put the weakest of those in the front and his family in the back, and plans all these things about how he's going to meet out Esau, not knowing that God had taken care of the problem ahead of time. He didn't realize it because he'd been out of fellowship with God. He'd been too far from Bethel. He didn't recognize the working of God in his life. He wasn't close to Him. Then comes one of the saddest chapters, I think, in all the Bible. And that's Genesis chapter 34. The last chapter before he goes back to Bethel. In chapter 34, his daughter, Dinah, is defiled. He's got 12 sons and one daughter. And that daughter in chapter 34 goes out to see the daughters of the land and compare herself among them. And while there, meets a man of Shechem, and we won't go into the details of what's happened, but his daughter Dinah gets defiled in this land far from Bethel. In this land that Jacob had decided to take his family to live like them and look like them and act like them. He comes back in a mess. Look, if you would, at Genesis 35. Genesis chapter 35. From Genesis chapter 28, where he was at Bethel, to Genesis chapter 35, when he comes back to Bethel, it's a mess. Can I tell you, Christian, you don't want to be out of fellowship with God. You don't want to be living in your own strength and your own energy. You will not recognize the decisions you're making are faulty decisions till you reap the consequences of them. Jacob went in his own strength, his own energy. He was known as a deceiver. That's what the name Jacob means. When he worked for Laban, he manipulated things where he was getting the best of the cattle and doing all that he could. And even sneaking away, Rachel hiding her father's idols in the tent and all these different things. He's living in the strength of the flesh and the energy of a carnal nature. And he pays dearly for it, even within his own family. But in chapter 35, he comes back to a merciful God. He comes back to a forgiving God. He comes back to a God of a second chance. I'm glad that our God is a God of a second chance. A God of a third chance and a fourth chance. He comes back to Bethel. Notice in chapter 35, and God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Jacob, get out of Syria. Get out of this land. Get away from these people. Get away from their customs. Get away from their lifestyle. Get away from their clothing. Get back to Bethel. Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God. At every Bethel, there's an altar. I'm reading a book right now, and the author is not of our persuasion, so to speak, and he talks about, in church, the band coming on the stage. And he says that as just the words just roll off his lips. That's just, in church, that's what it is. The band comes on the stage. And I thought, how far we've gotten from God. This is not a stage. We don't have a band perform. We have an altar. We have a place where people can come and kneel and get in communion with God. This is a Bethel. That's what it is. It's a Bethel. It's a house of God where we can come and renew our relationship with God and remember commitments we made to God and get a refreshing from God. That's what this is. This is our Bethel. God told Jacob, get back to Bethel and build an altar there under the God that appeared to thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau. Then Jacob said to his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you. Can you imagine? This is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That Jacob, the fathers of Israel. You know what he had to tell his family? Put away the strange gods that are among you. He had gotten so far in his 14 plus years away from Bethel that his very family were worshiping false gods. Put away the gods, the strange gods that are among you, and be clean. And change your garments. See how fully that foreign culture had reached Jacob's family? They were dressing like the heathen. Worshiping like the heathen. The children of Jacob. That one that had met with God and saw a ladder going to heaven and angels ascending and descending upon it. That one who wrestled with God and asked Him what His name was. Now after this departure from Bethel and getting away from Bethel, he has to command his household to put away strange gods, to be clean, to change your garments, verse 3, and let us arise and go to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and their earrings, which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak that was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. Bethel was a place of an encounter with God. It's a place where Abraham and Jacob had a monumental experience and dedication to God. But they got away from that. The pressures of life and of the world distracted them. Not justifying those things. Aren't you thankful that the Bible gives us those examples? It doesn't just show them as shining saints that are infallible. It shows us their human moments so that we can relate to that and understand that. And the Bible teaches us simply this, that you and I need to get back to Bethel. Back to that place, to close communion with God. Putting aside the strange gods and being clean and changing our garments, as it were, spiritually if not physically. And getting back in a right relationship with God. God is always willing to take us back. God is always willing to give us another opportunity. We need to get back to Bethel. How long have you been away from Bethel? How long since you last knelt at an altar? How long since you last made a commitment to God and had fellowship with God and a close relationship with God? It happens at Bethel. But the pressures of life get us away. I want you to take your songbook. This isn't the invitation yet, so don't get your hopes up. But take your songbook, and I want you to turn to page 295. I'm not going to ask you to sing. I'm going to do something worse than that. I'm going to sing. But I want you to see the words of this song. Because this song, I believe, adequately communicates the message of getting back to Bethel. You'll notice that every verse, page 295, every verse, the words begin with back to. That's what Bethel pictures. Back to the place. Back to the things. Back to the relationship we had with God. Back to Bethel. I must go. Watch the words as I sing them to you this evening. Back to the Bible, the true living Word. Sweetest old story that ever was heard. Back to the joy life my soul longs to know. Bethel is calling, and I must go. Verse 2. Back to the beautiful path I once trod. Back to the church and the people of God. Out of the cold world of sin and its woe. Bethel is calling, and I must go. Back to the giving of money and time. Back to the life of contentment sublime. Back to protection the world cannot know. Bethel is calling, and I must go. Back to the prayer life in Christ I once knew. Back to its beautiful life-cleansing dew. Back to help others to conquer each foe. Bethel is calling, and I must go. Back to Bethel, I must go. Back where the rivers of sweet waters flow. Back to the true life my soul longs to know. Bethel is calling, and I must go. See the message of Bethel? The house of God? Getting back in that right relationship with Him? Making sure you're clean and clear before Him. David had a Bethel moment. It's not called that in the Bible. But he had a Bethel moment when he had to say to the Lord, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." David knew the Lord, walked close with Him, had an encounter with Him. But life happened, sin entered into his life, and he had to ask God to bring him back, as it were, to Bethel. It happened to Abraham. It happened to Jacob. It happens to us. Our spiritual life sometimes gets into that roller coaster mode. When we're close to God, not so close to God. I want to say far from God, close to God, not so close to God. You know what we need to do? Recognize it. Abram's problem down in Egypt, he didn't recognize. He departed from Bethel. Jacob's problem for those 14 years in Syria plus, he didn't realize he departed from Bethel. God said, get back to Bethel. Maybe tonight you need to get back to Bethel. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.